So happy Resurrection Day wherever you are today, if you're in your homes, if you're in your car, wherever you might be watching this. We just want to celebrate with you today. Would you turn with me this morning to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24? If you have a Bible, we're going to be there in just a couple of minutes. And will you just acknowledge with me this morning that this is weird? Like, this is Easter Sunday, and I'm preaching to an empty worship center, relatively. My wife's down here and a couple other people, and you're in your homes. This has to be the most strange and different Easter that we've experienced in a long time. So here's the thing. If you're a regular attender at Central, I just want you to feel like you're here with us in the worship center right now. So you may need to make a couple of adjustments to feel like you're worshiping with us right now. So some of you might need to do something like this. Okay, just figure out what it takes to make you feel like you're about ready to sing and worship with us here. And some of you back row Baptists, you might need to rearrange some things and do something like this. Get those chairs so you can feel like you're not in the front row, because you're never in the front row here at Central. And I know that my sermons can be a little dry and sometimes a little bit boring. And so sometimes this tends to be normal. So maybe you need to do this here at church. Whatever it takes for you to feel like you're right here with us, even though you're in your homes, that's what we want you to do this morning. Would you pray with me? God, we celebrate the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the power of the resurrection and for what that means in our lives. We pray that you'd open your word to us now, God, and speak to us and give us hope from the truth of Scripture today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 24, we're going to begin reading in verse 1. I'm going to ask you to do something, even though you're in your homes, and sometimes we do this here at Central. I'm going to ask you to stand wherever you are, and we're going to read this together. So stand for the reading of Scripture this morning. Luke chapter 24, verse 1. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone already rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood before them in dazzling apparel. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again?" And they remembered his words. And they returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Thanks for standing and reading Scripture this morning. COVID-19 has changed nearly everything we do these days. There's been a dramatic shift in our culture. Schools in South Dakota got out in March. Churches aren't able to meet. Restaurants are closed. Weddings are having to be postponed. Most people are working remotely from their homes. They're even talking about a December World Series. Are you kidding me? Things have just dramatically changed in our culture. But you know what hasn't changed? The tomb is still empty. Amen. The end of Jesus' life is exactly the same as it always was. He is risen. Right. He's risen indeed. Some things just don't change. As I look at our culture today, do you know what I see? I see an erosion of hope. People are struggling. People are fearful. People are discouraged. People are depressed. People are facing family challenges, financial challenges, health challenges. Some are wondering how they're going to make it in this life. People today need hope. Some are saying, "What's the point of my existence?" Just a few weeks ago, a very good friend of my wife and I attempted to take his life, was only spared really by the grace of God. Hopeless. One of my best friends in California called me a couple of weeks ago and said a childhood friend of his, good friend of his, did take her life just a few weeks ago in her 30s. It's amazing to me how hopeless our culture has become. We've become a people that desperately need hope. And some of you are watching this morning, and it's an Easter message, and you're like, okay, great, I'm going to hear the same old irrelevant message about how Jesus died and rose from the grave and went to heaven and then left us here to figure it out on our own. And you're thinking to yourself, if it doesn't affect my life every day, who cares? And you know what? I agree with you. If the resurrection of Jesus Christ is just a story, who cares? If it doesn't affect our lives here and now, what's the point of even preaching that story? People need hope. And here's what I want you to walk away with on this Easter morning. The resurrection fills me with hope. The resurrection of Jesus Christ fills me with hope. Here's the question I want to answer today. How does the resurrection help me right now? What difference does it make in my life today? And I want to share three quick thoughts with you about how the resurrection makes a difference in our lives today. And the first is this: the resurrection gives me the hope of a new life. The resurrection gives me the hope of a new life. And by a new life, I mean a life that's free from the control of sin. A life that is able to overcome the sinful or evil nature that we have. You know, our sinful nature, the Bible says we have a sinful nature. The sinful nature is comprised of several things. One is moral weaknesses, sins in our life that are too strong for us to say no to. We can't seem to stop doing them. We feel stuck. Things like obscenity. I don't know how many Christians I talk to this. You know, Jeff, I'm sorry. Sorry for my language. I just can't seem to stop doing that or getting drunk. Again, I don't know how many Christians I know that abuse alcohol. And that's a real struggle for them. Gossiping, pornography, the list can go on and on. What is controlling you? What is it really difficult for you to say no to that you know doesn't please God? Could you at least admit it this morning that there are things in your life, sins in your life that right now you're not controlling? Another aspect of our sinful fallen nature is our insecurities. The feeling that we're not good enough. The feeling and desire to be liked or to be wanted. The feeling to be loved or accepted. Do you know when that's just kind of taken to an extreme where it leads us, that desire to be liked or loved? How far will you go to be accepted, to be popular, to be liked? What will you compromise in your life in order to feel loved? My sophomore year of high school, I got kicked out of school because I wanted to be liked, because I wanted to be accepted. So I went out with a group of guys and got drunk and went to a football game and got caught and got kicked out of school for the rest of the year, missed an entire basketball season. Why? Because that part of me that wanted to be liked, that wanted to be accepted, it wanted to be included, it drove me to do something that was wrong. And I paid the consequences for that. Our fallen sinful nature is it's the dark side of our personality. It's greed, it's selfishness, it's negativity, it's lust, it's pride. It's the ugly side of Jeff Wheeler. It's where jealousy exists in my heart, where sometimes it becomes difficult to cheer or applaud someone else when they do something well because maybe they do it better than me. Or maybe they're getting attention that I'm not getting. That jealous spirit, that's part of Jeff Wheeler's ugly side. Or my defensiveness, my pride, when my sweet wife or a teammate at work is trying to lovingly tell me that I could do something different and it would help, that maybe I could rethink some things. And in my pride, I get defensive and harsh. That's the ugly side of Jeff Wheeler. Or the impatience as I drive the streets of South Dakota. And the drivers here are not great, but that's no excuse for road rage, for letting things come out of my mouth literally as I'm driving, like, just get out of the way, stupid. Get off your phone, idiot. The dark side is part of my fallen nature. And guess what? You have a dark side. It's the ugly side of your personality. I know some of you are going, I don't know if I really have a dark side. Okay, hold on for a sec. Just sometime today, ask your parents or ask your wife or husband or ask your kids or ask your best friend. Just say, hey, pastor was talking this morning. Have you ever noticed like a dark side in me? Be ready for the answer because they're going to tell you, yeah, you have a dark side. And that sinful nature within all of us is what keeps us from joy in life. But because of Jesus' resurrection, sin no longer controls us. We're no longer controlled by that sinful nature. Romans 6, verses 5 through 7 says, since we have been united with Jesus in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ, so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. Come on, somebody, that's pretty good news. Set free from the power of sin and the fallen sinful nature. A few verses later, Paul says, do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. That means we have a choice now in Christ. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God. For you were dead, listen, but now you have new life. What does that mean? I've been raised with Christ through the power of his resurrection. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. We were raised with Christ at the moment of our salvation to live lives free from sin. Paul goes on in Romans chapter 8, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you if you're a Christian. And just as God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he will give life, say life. He will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit that lives in you, the Spirit that resurrected Jesus Christ from the dead. Like, pause for a minute and think about that. The power that raised Jesus' dead body to life lives in you and has given you the power to live life at a brand new level above the sinful, fallen nature. Paul goes on in verse 12 and he says, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. You're free. Free in Christ to live a new life by the power of the resurrection. I'm dead to sin and alive to God through the power of Christ's resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus gives me the power right now to live a new life. I'm dead to sin. I'm alive to God so I can live differently. The resurrection power of Jesus Christ recently changed the life of one of our high school students. They began to understand how the power of the resurrection can affect every area of our lives. Listen to Carly's story this morning.
About a year ago, I was completely lost. I struggled with really bad depression and anxiety. I wouldn't think about anything else other than what was going on in my head. It just consumed my life. I got into the church with the Stevens family and they brought me here and they showed me how fun it was. And once their dad like sat down with me and like just talked to me about how thankful he was that I was coming here, and now I'm really like thankful and grateful for being able to go to Central and find myself and grow with my relationship and with Christ. It has changed my relationship with my own family. I was baptized when I was younger, but eventually it kind of became my own faith. I shared that with my sister, my mom, and my dad, and I think they grew stronger with their faith as well. It also improved my relationships with my best friends because we just related a lot more and we were able to openly talk about things. During my baptism, I felt like I was able to just breathe. All of my past mistakes and all of my past worries have just like washed away. Now that I understand what it's like to walk with Jesus, when I'm struggling, I find myself telling myself that the Lord has a path for me. To me, after being baptized, I think now, not only is my relationship with Christ is stronger, it just means that I've been renewed and I'm able to walk with Him and trust Him throughout my journey.
The resurrection of Jesus Christ set Carly free to live a new life. And friend, the resurrection power of Christ can set you free to live a new life today as well. The resurrection fills me with hope of a new life. The second aspect of the resurrection is, in terms of hope, is the resurrection gives me the hope of a free life, a free life. By free, I mean the free from the control of Satan. Satan attacks us with the exact opposite spirit of God's spirit. The reality is the more you get to know God and who He is from Scripture, the more you will get to know Satan, because he attacks us with the exact opposite spirit of who God is. God is the God of hope. Satan attacks with hopelessness. God is the author of faith. Satan brings doubt and unbelief. God is the source of peace. And Satan attacks us with anxiety and fear. God is the source of wisdom. And Satan is the source of confusion. God is the God of joy. Satan brings depression. God is the source of truth. Satan fills us with lies. God is the source of freedom. And Satan leads us into addictions and bondage. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ frees us from the control of Satan. Listen to what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2. But God is so rich in mercy, and He loves us so much, that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life. Say, He gave us life. That's the resurrection. We were dead, but Jesus gave us life when He raised Jesus Christ from the dead. It's by God's grace that we've been saved. For He raised us from the dead. Say, raised us from the dead. He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Christ in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, right now, because of His victory and resurrection, victory over death and sin and the grave, and resurrection, is now seated at the highest place of authority in the universe. Scripture says He is seated on a throne far above all rule and power and dominion and every name that's named. That's the throne on which Jesus sits. And Paul says, because we've been resurrected with, we've been raised with Christ, we are seated with Him, positionally, theologically. We are next to Jesus, far above the rulership and the dominion of the evil one. Amen? We've been lifted to a new place of existence in Christ, above the dominion and authority of Satan. So hopelessness, fear, anxiety, depression, unbelief, all of those things no longer has any power over you if you are in Christ. 1 John 3:8 says the Son of God came for this purpose, that He might destroy the works of the devil. All of those things Satan brings against us, Jesus came to destroy them in our lives. As we share in Jesus' resurrection, we realize that we've been delivered in this life from Satan's power and control. And I don't know about you, but I try to recognize that in my everyday life. I will actually speak out loud when I begin to feel the assault or the attack of Satan in my life, of anxiety or fear or unbelief in my life. I will literally say, anxiety and fear, you have no dominion over me. You have no control over my life in Christ, in the authority of Jesus' name. Fear, doubt, unbelief, confusion, you are not my master. I've been lifted above you in Christ. I've been raised with Christ. I have nothing to do with you. And I'll begin to ask the Spirit of God to bring the things that I need, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. I will rebuke those things, hopelessness. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. You're not a part of my life any longer in Christ. Colossians 1, 13 and 14 says that God has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness, the authority or the rulership of darkness, and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. How is Satan attacking you right now? How is he afflicting you in your life? The resurrection of Jesus Christ has set you free. There's a young adult in our congregation. His name is Connor. And Connor experienced the resurrection power of Christ and realized that anxiety and those things of darkness have no place in him because he's in Christ. Listen to Connor's story this morning.
Anxiety has been something that's been in my life since I knew what the word anxiety was. Particularly social anxiety, being deathly afraid of what people will say, what people will think. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. That's been a truth that's been said over me. That's a truth that's been spoken in my heart. But there's just this part of me that didn't fundamentally understand what that truly meant. To me, my relationship with Jesus is understanding his heart and understanding that sometimes God's desires for our lives are different than ours. Sometimes there are things that he's trying to teach us and trying to develop in us that we don't even realize yet. And living in the truth that Jesus is real is just so, so authentic. It's so comforting. It's so refreshing. I can't explain the differences in my life that I've experienced without talking about him. In the absence of anxiety, God fills us with love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Does your anxiety do any of that? Is your anxiety patient? I know mine isn't. Is your anxiety kind? I know mine isn't. But I know that God is, and I know that I can access love, God the Father, through Jesus Christ, who bridged the gap between our imperfect lives and the perfect Father. The moment of baptism was so surreal. The moment you rise up out of that pool, the Holy Spirit just completely clears your mind of literally anything and everything else. I'm kind of in this state right now in my life that, like, it's like nervous excitement. Like, I know what has happened. I know that everything that I've given to the Lord, he's taken and he's multiplied. He took my anxiety and turned it into this confidence that God is here, God is real, and I trust him with what's next because I know that he's done much greater things than I've ever imagined with what I currently have.
The resurrection of Jesus Christ fills me with hope. The hope of a life free from sin and the hope of a life free from Satan's power and control. And the third thing is the resurrection gives me the hope of eternal life. Eternal life. And by eternal life, I mean freedom from eternal suffering in hell. Everyone is going to live forever in one place or another. Eternal life is a New Testament term. That means a life that's been connected to God, a life that is in relationship with Jesus Christ and therefore will live eternally in that relationship with God. It means that we've been born of God or born again or born of the Holy Spirit and have a relationship with him that will last forever. And Jesus' resurrection from the dead is the guarantee for all Christians that we also will be resurrected to eternal life. That's the most important part, in my opinion, in terms of the hope of the resurrection. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says this, "If there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you're still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost eternally. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first, literally the first fruits of a great harvest of all who have died. The phrase first fruits was an Old Testament term that meant the first fruits of a harvest that the Jews would bring to the temple. When the harvest began to come in, they would take those first gleanings and they would give it as an offering in the temple. And it was, in a sense, as they offered that by faith, a guarantee that God would bring the rest of the harvest into them. Christ was the first fruits of resurrection. He was the first one resurrected with a guarantee that all who come after him believing in Christ will also be resurrected to eternal life with him. Without Jesus' resurrection, there would be no guarantee of resurrection for us and no guarantee of eternal life in heaven. Because Jesus did rise from the dead, we have full assurance of our salvation and our eternity with him. I want to ask you this morning, do you have that hope? Are you living this life with that assurance that because Jesus was resurrected and you are in Christ, that when you die, you also will be resurrected to eternity with God one day? How does the resurrection of Jesus Christ affect me today? How does it have any relevance in my life right now? Well, first of all, it gives us the hope of being free from sin. It gives us the hope of being free from Satan. And it gives us the hope of being free from eternal suffering. The resurrection of Jesus Christ empowers Christians right now to live differently. It gives us hope for this life, but it also gives us hope for the life to come. With everything that's going on with COVID-19, it seems like this would be a time to begin to think about the frailty of your own life, to begin to ask the question, what's going to happen when I die? Do I have the confidence that when I die, I will be resurrected to eternal life with God, not resurrected to eternal judgment and suffering, but resurrected with Christ to eternity with him because I've put my trust in him? Friends, when you have that assurance, you can live this life without fear. It doesn't matter what a virus does to you. It doesn't matter what a car accident does to you. It doesn't matter because your future and eternity is secure in Jesus Christ. Do you have that assurance today? On Resurrection Sunday, are you walking in the peace and of his salvation in Christ? You can today, friend. Let me ask you this morning, what if you decided in your life as a Christian to live free from sin's control? What if you decided today you were gonna live by the power of the resurrection? What would begin to change in your life? What would begin to be removed if you understood that you've been freed from your sinful nature? What would change in your life today if you realized and began to walk in the reality that you are free from Satan's control? That you are no longer under his dominion, but you've been seated with Christ in heavenly places. How would your life be different today? How could the resurrection change you right now? And how would your life be different this morning if for the first time you put your trust in Christ? If for the first time you began to think about life after this life, life after death, and said, I don't have that confidence, Pastor, that I will be forever with him. And I'm living in fear right now, fear of my death, because I don't know what comes next. Today's your day to receive the life-changing power of the resurrection of Christ. Around here we say that relationship's as easy as A, B, C, A. You have to admit that you've sinned against God. That's not hard. I think we all recognize we've sinned. We've broken God's commandment and we stand condemned before him. B, you have to believe that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh and that through Jesus alone who hung on the cross on Good Friday, that he died for your sin because he was sinless. Only Jesus could bear your sin. And you have to ask him to forgive you. And C, you have to commit yourself to following him, to following Christ. If you're ready to do that, right now, I'd like to take a moment and pray with you. Would you bow your heads and pray with me right now? And in your own words this morning, just say this: Jesus, I know that I've sinned. I'm uncertain about my future. I'm uncertain about what's going to happen when I die. But I want the assurance in my heart right now that I would be resurrected to eternal life with you. Would you forgive all of my sin right now? Would you fill me with the Holy Spirit and save me from my sin? Lord, right now, I believe that you died for me on the cross and you're my only means of salvation. Save me, God. And I commit right now, Lord, to following you to the best of my ability with the strength that you give me. I'm going to follow after you and let you be the leader of my life today. So help me to do that now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Friend, this is a day to celebrate. This is a day to celebrate the hope that we have through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It profoundly changes who we are as people. I want you to be different today as a result of the resurrection of Christ. If you made that decision today for the first time to follow Jesus Christ and you prayed that prayer and meant it, I want you to let us know about that so we can begin to help you in the first few steps of your new walk of faith. Would you do this? Would you either go on our website at centralsf.org/Jesus and begin to give us some information and we will contact you if you want to learn how to walk with Christ. Or if you'll simply text the words "start with Jesus" to the number 555-888. That information should be on your screen. Please let us know if you've made the decision this Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day, to commit your life to Christ and to have a brand new life through the power of the resurrection. God bless you today.
Of the Lord above all. that will last throughout eternity. Lord, you are great and worthy of the highest praise.
We just want to end with just speaking a word of blessing over you on this resurrection day. So through the power of Christ's resurrection, sin is no longer your master. Satan no longer controls you. You are no longer bound by death, hell, and the grave. He's risen, and in Christ, so are you. May the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ fill you with hope. Amen. Amen.